Well, as I stand here tonight, I can just praise the Lord that he has saved me from the bondage of Roman Catholicism with so many others. I was brought up in a very devout Roman Catholic home, and I always believed that there was no other church but the Roman Catholic Church. I went to Mass and the confessionals, and at the age of 6 years old, I made my first confession and first communion. I believed then that I was a child of understanding. It would be a sin for me if I missed Mass on a Sunday morning or on holidays of obligation. And also, I thought it a great sin if I didn't go to confession on a Saturday and receive communion on a Sunday morning. And as a child going to school, it always entered my head that I would love to become a nun. I'd done a lot of things about it. I spoke to the priest about it. And after various visits to the school from the nuns, I decided that I should enter into a convent and become a nun. My parents were greatly thrilled, because then it's a great honour in the family either to have a priest or a nun. I was overjoyed at everything, that I was being even picked out to become a nun. And then I always thought too of you Protestants, how many Protestants there were, and I always thought they were lost. They could never possibly enter heaven when they were not brought up in the one true and infallible church. So at the early age of 14, I decided that I could leave school and there go to work for my church. I thought I could work maybe in a Protestant factory, tell the Protestants of their need of the infallible church, that they were lost completely and that they could never possibly enter the kingdom of heaven. And at the age of 14, I entered into a Protestant factory on the Donegal Road. There was quite a few other Roman Catholic girls with me, and to my horror, I was the odd one picked out. I was put with Christians. I didn't like that. Although I wanted to work amongst Protestants, I didn't want to work amongst those that seemed to know that there was a God. But however, I went down the room to work with these particular people that I was put with. And I was horrified that I didn't seem to get able to speak to them in any particular way. So I decided that the sooner I could get a visit round to the priest, the better. So I trotted along that night round and I told the priest of what had actually happened. Well, to see, the harder it is, the greater reward for you. Well, I thought this a great honour, that I was even being privileged to have been able to give a greater reward. However, I continued to try and tell those Protestants of what they really needed. And after a little while, I was really horrible to those Protestants. The things that I had called their faith, what I had said to them, and yet they were always the same to me. I couldn't understand it. And one day I found myself saying to a Christian friend, "What is it that you've got I haven't got? After all, I had the world. I had the church at the back of me. I had everything. And yet there was something lacking." And that friend said to me, "I've got peace that passeth all understanding." Well, that was as clear as mud to me. I just couldn't understand that. But however, I tried to think of those few words. And a few days later, I just couldn't understand what the black book this particular friend was carrying to work day by day. And I said to her, "Do you see the little black book that you put down beside you each day? Could I possibly read it?" "Yes," she said, "by all means, you take it and read it for yourself." I took the book, and when I realized it was a Bible, I was horrified. I felt like throwing the Bible to her again, and yet I realized I couldn't be ignorant. I had to read it. I had to accept it. So I took the Bible over to my place, and I just pretended to read it. But the Lord spoke to me, and the Lord made me stop at the verses of the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 14. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." Well, at that time, my heart was greatly troubled. I couldn't accept the Roman Catholic Church, and yet there was something lacking in my life. I continued to read that chapter, and again I stopped at verse 6. "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Well, I realized that Jesus was speaking to Thomas. But putting my own name there, I realized that it was me he was speaking to. He was telling me he was the way, and he was the truth and the life. And all I needed to do was to trust him. But I couldn't do that. That would mean giving up home and loved ones. That would be absolutely impossible. So I decided then that I would just leave aside of what I'd done. But I found myself going to the various places of worship, mission halls and the churches. And each little place I can just praise the Lord for them, because I heard the gospel, and each time I heard my need of a Saviour. And one night, as I went into Great Victoria Street Baptist Church, and the minister emphasized the fact that now is the time of salvation, that we might never live to see the light of a new day, I realized then that Jesus himself was really speaking to me. I couldn't put it off any longer. I would have to give my heart completely over to him. So there and then, while in my pew, I trusted the Saviour. My, I was overjoyed. I wanted to run and tell everyone whom I had met what I had really done, that I had been changed, that the Saviour had saved me. I wanted to tell my parents, but I thought of the difficulties. And I praised God again that in that particular period of time I was able to remain in my own home as a Christian for 1 week. And in that time I was able to show my parents in my life of what the Saviour was meaning to me. And I found my parents asking me, "What's wrong with you? You're a changed girl." And I was able to tell my parents that it was the Saviour that had really saved me. And that all they needed to do was to trust him too. Nothing was said that night, and again I praised the Lord that I was able to make way and get into church on the Sunday night, because that night the minister spoke on the verse, on the chapter of Isaiah, verse 10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Well, those were the words. Those were the comforting words from the Lord. Those are the words that have stuck by me in the years that I have trusted him. As I was so young, I realized that things wouldn't be particularly easy. But when the Lord is for us, who can be against us? And I can close with the words of the psalmist, "The Lord has done great things, whereof I am glad."